When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
You're listening to Around the Dial, your one-stop shop for sports talk's best moments every day. Here's your host, CBS Sports Radio's Damon Amendolara.
Welcome inside Around the Dial, the best in your sports talk for Friday, June the 28th. I'm your host, DA. And while the NBA free agency period is nearly upon us, Sunday, 6 a.m., will be the beginning of massive player movement. We begin with baseball. Why, you ask? Well, because in sports talk, meltdowns create meltdowns. And yesterday was indeed one of those iconic meltdown moments. Mike Francis has been doing this for a really long time, an icon of New York sports talk. And on WFAN radio in New York, he was watching yet another New York Mets nightmare. The train wreck that just simply won't stop. The bullpen that consistently pukes all over itself. Edwin Diaz came to the mound trying to protect a 3-1 lead in Philadelphia. The Mets had already blown three games in this series. Francesa watched. The Mets melted down. And then Francesa melted down himself.
Let's see if he can get Segura out first. Segura hits a shot. Home run. Unbelievable! So this guy comes in and gives up five runs. That sums it up. Fire all of them. Don't even bring them back to New York. You know what? Let the bus go the other way, please. Tomorrow night, let the 69 Mets take the field. They do a better job against the Braves. This is unbelievable. There's Frazier hits one of the biggest home runs you could hit in your life. Kept the Mets alive. 2-1 Mets. They had an insurance run. 3-1 Mets. Go to the bottom of the ninth. They traded to get this kid, the great reliever. They bring Diaz in here. All he's got to do is get a rocking chair save against the bottom of the lineup. Walks the first batter, gives up a home run to the eight hitter. And then gives up a 3-run jack to Segura. On his 38th pitch or whatever the heck it was. He's done. He's shot. Bullpen shot. Team shot. Manager's shot. The pitching strategist. Who the hell knows what he does in the first place? Hey, you know what? Just listen. Let the Mets take the bus. Instead of coming north on a turnpike, send it south. Let the 69 Mets suit up tomorrow night. This is a disgrace. I can't even believe it. You can't lose this game. They stink so bad you can't even make it up. 37-45. Diaz goes down and gives up two homers and five runs. after Frazier hits the clutch home run of the year to keep this team breathing. You got to be kidding me. Get rid of all of them. They're a bunch of jokers. Alonso, I apologize. McNeil, I apologize. DeGrom, maybe I apologize. The rest of you, you stink. Back after this.
Did the Mets bullpen choke again? Oh, yeah. It's a season on the brink, and Mike Francesa just summed up every Mets fan's emotions with that. It was so brilliant, we had to lead with it. On to the NBA's free agency watch, where the news is that Kemba Walker could slide in and will slide in to the vacancy left by Kyrie Irving in Boston. It looks like the former Hornet All-Star is now going to sign with the Celtics. So let's start comparing the two. Are the Celtics better off with Kemba instead of Kyrie? Here's Mark James on WEEI at night in Boston as he chats with basketball writer Jeff Goodman.
He's better defensively. He's not as good offensively. And he's a better leader, a better intangible guy, a better passer.
Wait. He's not a better. Jeff, he doesn't have better handles or better passer than Kyrie Irving.
He's a better passer than Kyrie Irving.
How do you say Kyrie's Kyrie, I saw in a game this year, Jeff, he could do this every night. It was a game, and granted, it was against the Wizards, so it was the Wizards, but he had 12 assists to one turnover. When he wants to, Kyrie Irving could have a 3-4-1 assist to turnover ratio. He just likes to shoot too much.
Kyrie Irving also had Jason Tatum and Gordon. Gordon, but Tatum, Horford, he had way more talent. Marcus Morris, he had so much more talent. To me, if you put Kemba Walker on a team that has weapons around it, Kemba Walker can average 18 points and 10 assists a game.
Well, now,
he is a better passer.
Okay.
He's a more willing passer.
Okay, so if you do that and you're doubling the amount of assists he's averaged his career, which is 5, then all of a sudden, then that changes a little bit and changes the ball game. I mean, here's my thing. I like Kemba Walker, Jeff, and I told, I was there doing an afternoon drive in Charlotte when he was drafted by the Bobcats, and they brought him and Bismack Biyombo. They were both in the same draft. They brought him in studio. I was there when he made his first playoffs, and of course they got swept by that great Miami Heat team with LeBron and Wade and Bosch in 2014. I just don't like him at $36 million per. That's my only thing. Like,
No, I'd rather him at 32. Absolutely, I'd rather him at 30.
I'd rather him at
the only way you're getting him.
Okay.
The only way you're getting him is to probably pay 36. So,
well, then I wouldn't do it.
It's Kemba and a big man like, I don't know what you're going to get at this point. Can you get Brooke Lopez, somebody like that? Robin Lopez. Maybe not. Maybe you're stuck with an Ed Davis, something like that, or. Do you have enough belief in Terry Rozier that he's playoff Terry Rozier from a year and a half ago?
No.
I think he's somewhere in between. I think he's somewhere in between that and what he showed this past year. And to me, again, can you even get Vucevic? Can you even get him?
Now, let me ask you this. If you're – so what are we talking in terms – because Vucevic wasn't a first – top three team all NBA. Is Vucevic going to get about what Al Horford's looking for? 4 years, $27 million a year. Is that about what he's
probably,
about?
Yeah, probably somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, so
so much money out there right now, Mark, that teams are overpaying for guys. So in order to get a Kemba or a Vucevic, you're going to have to overpay. So who would you rather have?
Vucevic.
Would you rather have Vucevic?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I'd rather have Kemba.
I'd rather Vucevic. Kemba. You're talking about a guy who's 7'2", 260 pounds, very athletic, very a great scorer. He went 21-12 last year. And Jeff, the best part of his game that he improved last year, 3-point shooting and passing, and you need someone to replace Horford in Baines. There's your answer. Well, Jeff, how many elite point guards are there in this league? 5? You don't need to win a title with an elite point guard. The Raptors just won with Kyle Lowry.
I don't know. Steph Curry's pretty good.
No. That's the exception to the rule. He's an exception. Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook.
Guess,
right. I'm
not saying I'm not saying your best player has to be a point guard, but I'm saying you better have a damn good point guard. Kyle Lowry is an underrated point guard, in my opinion, because of the intangibles. We saw them. He played at a high, high level in the NBA Finals, did he not?
Oh, he was tremendous, especially in Game 6.
In terms of good chemistry, yeah, the Celtics need it. But at the end of the day, Kyrie's handle is superior to Kemba's handle. Kyrie is one of the great ball handlers in the NBA. Now, chemistry-wise, I would totally agree. Kemba feels like a much better fit, and maybe the Celtics will be better for it. But already we hear some media saying that Kyrie's not even as good as Kemba Walker, and that's not true. Kyrie's attitude might not be as good, but Kyrie's ball handling, his scoring, and his overall talent is superior to Kemba Walker. So what will go into Kemba Walker's decision to leave the only place he has ever known in his professional career to head to Boston? Well, here's a former teammate of his, Al Jefferson, who joined Wilson and Parcell on WFNZ in Charlotte and gave us a quote that I think will last through NBA free agency and beyond. No one know Kemba more than Kemba.
If Kemba were to call you and to say, Al, here are my options here. Boston, a better chance to win. Charlotte with the ability to maybe make more money over the rest of or the next 4 to 5 years. How would you counsel your former teammate on a decision like that?
Well, I would just tell Kemba just follow his heart. You know, no one know Kemba more than Kemba. No one know how, you know, what situation he want to put himself in. This is a very good position he in right now, and he will probably never be in this position again in his career as far as be able to sign a max deal no matter where you go, you know. So, and I know Kemba also want to win. He don't want on every level he's been on, and he also want to win on this level. So, I would just tell him just, you know, just to really pray about it and think about it and follow his heart. And I think with me knowing Kemba, how I know Kemba, I think wherever his heart leads him will be the best decision for him and his family.
Obviously, a lot of the faces have changed since you signed in Charlotte back in 2013, but one constant is Michael Jordan. When you were a free agent in 2013 and you were in that meeting, that pitch meeting with the Hornets, what was Michael Jordan's role in convincing you to come to Charlotte? How much of a role did he have?
Believe it or not, he wasn't that at all. The first time I seen Jordan was the first day of training camp in September or October, whenever that was. So he didn't really, you know, of course his name is, you know, it's a present all by itself. And me coming to the Hornets, I knew he owned the team. So, but it was just in that meeting, it was all about Clifford and Patrick Ewing and them guys, you know. He was a first year head coach and he was coming in and he had big plans and I was going to be a part of them plans. And he just won me over with the things that he said he wanted to do here. Yeah, in Charlotte. So that what really got me on board.
Is that normal for an owner not to be a part of those meetings? I mean, you've been in a few of those. I feel like I hear a lot of times that maybe even if they're not the one standing up making the pitch, I usually hear them involved. In your experience, is that normal?
Well, believe it or not, that was probably my first and last meeting I ever had as a free agent. You know, my second time around being a free agent. You know, Indiana didn't fly me up. It wasn't no meeting. It was just all about, do I want to come? And he was like, yes. So that was my only meeting I had. And so I don't know if that's normal or not. But like I said, him not being there didn't bother me none because his name was just a prison all by itself.
Again, I think we should just re-rack that quote here. No one know Kemba more than Kemba.
No one know Kemba more than Kemba.
Al Jefferson is right. And so Kemba Walker might want to win. Kemba Walker might have seen, hey, they didn't offer me a ton of money in Charlotte to stay anyway, so I'm not leaving money on the table. And that, to me, is head-scratching for Michael Jordan and the Hornets front office. I mean, Kemba Walker's been the best player in that franchise's history since it came back to Charlotte from New Orleans. To me, it was a no-brainer to give Kemba Walker the money that he has earned there because it's not like they draft and develop really well anyway. You're watching a guy walk out the door, a star that you actually drafted and developed. Does it make sense? Questionable in my mind. Another huge bit of news yesterday was that the Los Angeles Lakers are able to clear space for a max contract to go alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Now, the rest of the roster doesn't really exist right now, but as long as they have the space for a third max deal, they have the opportunity to swim with the big boys, swim with the Sharks in NBA free agency. So, who makes the most sense for the Lakers if they are able to acquire another max contract out there? Here is ESPN's Stephen A. Smith on the Jason and John Show on 92.9 in Memphis.
I think it would be Kyrie Irving, who supposedly, purportedly is going to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what their differences were personality-wise, on the basketball court, Kyrie and LeBron perfectly complemented one another, and they validated it by capturing a championship. So we can't ignore that. But I will also like to say this. The Lakers don't have to go in that direction.
Right.
The Lakers could choose to go in the direction of a D'Angelo Russell, get him for a bit cheaper. He'd be at least $10 million cheaper than Kyrie, if not more. And you could use those other dollars to add additional parts to the franchise. Because if you got LeBron and you got AD and you got Kyle Kuzma as a third wheel, and you were to add D'Angelo Russell to that equation, you could certainly use the extra dollars to add two or three additional players. And that might be a plus instead of adding a third superstar.
What should Danny Ainge do? You've been on him a little bit, and I sort of have too. At least he's missed some of his window. A lot of people, I figure, Boston fans figure they should have been the team that was in the finals. What are they going to do there? Do you take Kemba and you're a good team all of a sudden? What should Ainge do?
When it comes to Danny Ainge, what I did was recognize the fact that he's been a quality executive in the NBA, and that's not to be ignored.
Yep.
The flip side to it, however, the fact that You gotta usually have a superstar. I mean, I think the only team that has won devoid of a superstar, excuse me, in this millennial, has been the Detroit Pistons when they had Tayshaun Prince, your VP of basketball affairs now. When they had him, they had Chauncey, they had Rasheed Wallace, Benny Wallace, and Rip Hamilton. And so for me, outside of that, every team that's won a championship had a bona fide superstar and future Hall of Famer on the squad. And if you're the Boston Celtics and you have supplementary parts, the Jason Tatums, Jaylen Browns of the world, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, et cetera, at least at one time, along with a Gordon Hayward, a Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, you've got to find a way to parlay that into acquiring
completely
a
agree.
Superstar.
Yes.
And if
yes.
you can't do that, and if you can't do that, it begs the question as to why that is. Now, you're going to have a plethora of stars that don't want to come play in Boston. They don't want to be in Northeast. They don't want to be in that cold weather, certainly in Boston and all of this other stuff. That might be true, or it might be that he hasn't really been able to recruit since Doc Rivers has left and even before then. Remember, when he had the big three with KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, the real acquisition was KG. What happened with that? One of his great, great friends and former championship teammate, Kevin McHale, who was running the Minnesota Timberwolves, gift-wrapped that pick or that deal to Danny Ainge. Outside of that, what real deal has he made? The real deal he made was hoodwinking the Brooklyn Nets and then GM Billy King into trading for Paul Pierce and KG because Danny Ainge knew that Billy King was under pressure by the Russian owner Prokhorov to make the deal because Prokhorov wanted to be an instant sensation in New York because he saw a vulnerability on the part of the New York Knicks in Midtown Manhattan. So he said, let's get it now. Let's add KG and Paul Pierce to the mix, to the equation. Let's do something big since we're just opening up in the Barclays Center. Let's do it that way and force Billy King to make that thing, mortgaging their future with three basically first-round picks. So those are the kind of things that happen. Those are the two things that happened to Danny Ainge's benefit. Nothing else of real note he did. Brad Stevens, big time acquisition in terms of acquiring him as a coach out of Butler because nobody saw that coming.
Right.
And Brad Stevens was ultimately what enabled you to get Gordon Hayward to leave Utah. Mm-hmm. Now, we know Gordon Hayward had an ugly injury, but before the ugly injury, he was every bit worth the $131 million contract that Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics signed him to. But that was because of his relationship with Brad Stevens. What has Danny Ainge done himself to make Boston an attractive landing spot for a marquee free agent? I think that's the one blemish on his career as an executive that should be asked to note and basically publicize.
I think you're right.
Look, when you have the Lakers roster with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, it is obviously top heavy. And when you look at the rest of the roster with Kyle Kuzma and then potential retreads, second round draft picks, minimum contracts for veterans, you'd have to say it's tough. But if they are able to land a guy like, let's say, Kyrie Irving on a deal or somebody else, it's probably not going to be Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard, but could it be another second-tier guy in a max deal and Kyrie would make a ton of sense? Well, now again, the Lakers have gone from a disaster, something that was hard to even look at, to being maybe the favorite in the West. And they might be the favorite right now already, even without signing somebody to a max deal. I don't know if Rob Pelinka had this master plan all along. I highly doubt it. But right now it has made sense, assuming they can fill that max contract slot with a top-tier free agent. It's not just basketball season. It's also NFL mini camps and OTAs in the offseason where teams and new faces and new places are going to get to know one another. And one of those new faces is Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. The former Chiefs running back was dismissed in Kansas City for his domestic assault in the hotel of a young woman. And so he was picked up by the Browns. Now, Travis Kelce played alongside Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. And Kelsey's always a great soundbite. And so Travis Kelce weighed in on what Kareem Hunt will bring to Cleveland personally. What is he like off of the football field with Baskin and Phelps on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland?
Kareem is every bit of an amazing teammate. I mean, he loves every guy in the locker room, offensive, defense. He's not a guy that just kind of gets in a click and he stays with this with the certain guys. I mean, he was loved by everybody in the locker room, which, and I recently said, you know, it ripped our hearts out. It ripped our hearts out because he was such a good friend and a good teammate to everyone. I mean, I'm not justifying anything that he did was right or wrong or anything like that. I think that, you know, he had some things that he had to clean up for sure. But as a person, I mean, Kareem has been nothing but a great friend and a great teammate.
Love the fact that on Sunday Night Football, anytime you're introduced, Travis Kelce, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Why do you wear the pride of Northeast Ohio? I mean, it's front and center, Travis, and I know folks here really appreciate it.
You know what? I feel like growing up in Cleveland Heights has really given me an understanding of life that I may have not have gotten anywhere else. I mean, the variety of social class, the variety of ethnicities, just racial backgrounds. I mean, the melting pot that Cleveland Heights is gave me an understanding of culture to a degree where I appreciate everyone for who they are. And I'm very proud of that. I think that's something that everyone in Cleveland Heights knows and understands, and that's why we are such a strong community. And, you know, it's nothing against Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati. I appreciate Cincinnati for what it was. And I go back and I try and help out as much as I can, knowing that me and my brother just put together some funds to try and raise a scholarship for some kids down there in Cincinnati for the University of Cincinnati. But, you know, there's something about Cleveland Heights that is just so special to me and who I've become and how I even got here to the NFL. And you know what? I got to showcase that every chance that I can.
Well said.
The Browns obviously won't have him all season long because of the suspension, but the Browns have collected a lot of talent. The question is, does it all fit together? It is so hard when you are in the NFL to have all these new faces come in and get on the same page. It's not an individual sport. Everybody has got to work together. So you have an emotional Odell Beckham being added to a team that's got big expectations and a rookie head coach. You've got an emotional Baker Mayfield calling out players that might be holding out like Duke Johnson or want to be traded. Then you add Kareem Hunt to the mix, and it is going to be a boiling pot throughout the season. Cleveland's got the talent to certainly be a winner, but do they have the composure and do they know the experience that it takes to win? That's a completely different question. Finally, we are almost upon one of the great American holidays ever, the 4th of July's hot dog eating contest for Nathan's in Coney Island, New York. And one of our favorite contestants annually is Badlands Booker. This man is a mountain. I've had a chance to have him on my show, and he's gregarious and fun and awesome, and he can pound hot dogs. So what is a true competitor, a true athlete's preparation like in advance of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? Here is Badlands with Hockman and Crowder on WQAM in Miami.
What's the preparation for that like? Because we talked with George Shea earlier in the week. He said Joey Chestnut stops eating on Sunday night and only has water or coffee for 4 days leading up to the competition.
And Mickey Sudo yesterday said she does the challenge 1 week before.
Right, like she does a practice challenge, she said, with the hot dogs, buns, and kind of tries to set it up as if it was the contest. And so do you have a preparation?
Well, basically 3 days before, you know, I'll just go with just doing like protein shakes, right? I had discovered this thing online called Huel. It's like a meal replacement. You know, I would just go to that, you know, just have like, two or three servings of that, you know, the 3 days leading up to it, and then just drink a lot of water just to hydrate myself. And so I can be, you know, pretty much empty and ready to go. But since I'm rapping also, I'm doing about five songs, right? So
you're performing before the contest, right?
Yeah. So that morning I'll probably have like, you know, some orange juice, you know, have a little bit of, a little bit of carbs just to like, keep me up so I won't like, just like pass out, you know?
I don't know Badlands. I play in the NFL, man. I couldn't do shows before I go to an NFL game. That would affect my preparation for the actual contest. Is this a mistake doing the songs?
You just gotta, you know, and have a little more cardio, you know, just to compensate for that. So
you gotta compartmentalize pretty much. Hey, I'm a performer right now. Now I'm a competitive eater.
Well, you know, the fans want to see both, so you know, I have to give them what they want.
What's making you more money right now? Competitive eating, rapping, or the Badlands Chugs YouTube video?
Well, I have to say the Chugs at the moment.
Yeah,
you know, the YouTube is a whole different animal. I mean, it's like right now, you know, I'm still working for the subway in New York. If this keeps up, you know, I may retire early.
I was going to ask you that. Like, are you making enough money now that you can give up your day job?
Yeah. It's getting to that point. So, you know.
And what is it? Is it all based off? It's all based off advertising. Is that how you make the money on YouTube?
Yeah. Because every time that you click onto a Chug video, you know, then when the ad runs, you know, that's how the money is made. But, you know, there's, you know, I also get like sponsorships, you know, different people will ask me to promote their products, you know, during the Chug video. And, you know, they pay me to do that, too. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can get some money off of YouTube.
Badlands Booker is with us, a competitive eater. I was watching a YouTube video from Major League Eating. You know, you talk about being up in New York. So Major League Eating has a YouTube channel, and you were at a restaurant in Queens. And you were eating three live octopus. It was Crowder. They were squirming and trying to get off the plate. These weren't.
I ran from Badlands too. Hell,
these were not little tiny calamaris. This was crazy. Did you enjoy that?
It was delicious. It was like, just imagine the freshest seafood that you ever had. I mean, if you like to eat sushi, I mean, it was so fresh. It was unbelievable. But it was a little tough, but they had to eventually cut it up for me. But
they were squirming. They were trying to get away from you. That didn't take away some of the luster of the flavor.
If those damn hot dogs could run, they would too.
I mean, that just brought out the, you know, the... You know, just like the caveman in me, and that's been, you know, like, you know, buried into me. Just like, you know, like, get over here, come here, you know, the hunter and the gatherer. You know, I had to fight for my food this time instead of go to the supermarket and get it.
It's just good to hear what a true competitor needs to do to get ready for an enormous athletic competition. Look, if you got to fire yourself up, rip things off the walls,
That's what you have to do. But when it comes to the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, let's face it, there is no bigger stage in America. That'll be the Best in Your Sports Talk for Friday, June the 28th. We'll see you on Monday, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Around the Dial. Subscribe now for the best daily recap in sports talk on radio.com or the radio.com app.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!